Welcome to eMemory's third quarter 2020 webcast investor conference. Today with us, we have Chairman Dr. Charles Hsu, President Dr. Rick Shen, Vice President of Business Development and Spokesman Mr. Michael Ho, Director of Investor Relations Ms. Li-Jeng Chen, and Director of Finance Department Ms. Teresa Kuo. The format for today's event will be as follows. First, eMemory's Chairman Dr. Charles Hsu will give opening remarks. Afterwards, eMemory's President Dr. Rick Shen will summarize our operations in the third quarter of 2020, followed by our future outlook. Next, Chairman Dr. Charles Hsu will introduce how PUF works in AI security. Then we will go into the Q&A session where our management team will be ready to answer your questions. Please feel free to submit your questions in the input box on the webcast window throughout the conference. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded, and a webcast replay will be available within 2 hours after the conference is finished. Please visit the company's website at www.ememory.com.tw under the Investor Relations section. As usual, before we begin, we would like to remind everyone that today's presentation may contain forward-looking statements that are subject to risk factors associated with the semiconductor and IP business. Please refer to the cautionary statement as shown on page 3 of today's presentation. Now, I would like to turn the floor over to eMemory's Chairman, Dr. Charles Hsu.
Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. I hope you are all healthy and doing very well. As mentioned in our previous conference calls, we are entering a multilayer growth cycle with a strong set of tape-outs in the pipeline. We expect the momentum of growth to continue for license activities and also royalty revenues. In addition, our PUF-based solutions have gained many interests as higher security requirements have become indispensable. We are actively engaging with leading companies for the design of our new PUF into their security architectures and expect more design wins in the future. Next, I would like to invite Rick to report our third quarter operating results and the future outlook of our business. Look, Rick.
Thank you, Charles. Good afternoon, everyone. I will first begin with our third quarter results. Third quarter revenue was 441 million NT dollars, a sequential increase of 4.2% and a 31.1% year-over-year, or up 5.7% sequentially and a 38.2% year-over-year in US dollars. The operating expenses were 244 million NT dollars, up 7.3% sequentially and 23.6% year-over-year, mainly attributable to expected credit losses of 11.23 million NT dollars, affecting the operating ratio by 2.54%. The reason is that a Chinese foundry delayed the remittance due to the tax exemption approval flow deferment. It is expected to be deferred to the fourth quarter of this year, and the expense will be reversed then. This brings us to the operating income of 197 million NT dollars, with an increase of 0.7% sequentially and 41.8% year-over-year. Therefore, the operating margin declined by 1.6 percentage points sequentially, but increased by 3.3 percentage points year-over-year to 44.7%. Overall, our third quarter EPS was 2.26 NT dollars, and the ROE was 38.8%. For the first three quarters of 2020, the revenue was 1,280 million NT dollars, up 22.1% year-over-year, and grew 26.8% in US dollar. the operating expenses increased 18.1%, and the operating margin was 45.9%, with an increase of 1.8 percentage points. EPS up 24.5% to 6.92 NT dollars, and the ROE gained 6.2 percentage point to 39.5%. Now let's move on to the revenue contribution by licensing and royalty. Licensing in the third quarter accounted for 25.2% of the revenue, down 5.9% sequentially, up 7.2% year over year, or down 4.8% sequentially, and but up 12.9% year over year in US dollars. Royalty in the third quarter contributed 74.8% of the total revenue, increased 8.2% sequentially, and 41.8% year over year, or up 9.8% sequentially, and 49.5% year over year in US dollars. For the first three quarters of 2020, the total revenue grew by 22.1% year over year in NT dollars, or 26.8% in US dollars. Licensing and royalty grew 6.8% and 28.7% respectively, or 11% or 33.5% respectively in US dollars. In terms of the revenue contribution by technologies, the results are as follows. NeoBit accounted for 22.4% of total licensing revenue in the third quarter, increased 22.5% sequentially, but decreased 31.4% year over year. Its royalty accounted for 64.2% of total royalty, up 5.8% sequentially, and 18.9% year over year, mainly due to content increase of PMIC, TDDI, and other applications. NeoFuse accounted for 61.7% of the total licensing revenue in the third quarter, down 18.2% sequentially, but up 42.7% year over year. Its royalty increased by 11.4% sequentially and 128.2% year over year due to the continuous production of existing and new applications. This brings the royalty of NeoFuse to contribute 32.4% of the total royalty. Our PUF-based security IP contributed to 5.6% of the licensing revenue in the third quarter. Although this technology has not contributed to any royalty yet, engagement with industrial leaders is still actively ongoing. As for MTP technology, licensing revenue increased 3% sequentially but decreased 14.9% year over year to account for 10.3% of licensing revenue in the third quarter. Royalty from MTP increased 26.9% sequentially and 45.5% year over year to contribute 3.4% of the total royalty. Currently, our MTP team is working with partners on developing MRAM, ReRAM, and AI memory. Both ReRAM and AI memory has been verified with proven results. In the first three quarters of 2020, for NeoBit, the licensing revenue decreased by 17.5% year over year, but the royalty increased by 6.7%, accounting for 53.2% of the total revenue. For NeoFuse, licensing the royalty revenue grew 27.1% and 133.7% year over year, contributing to around 41.3% of the total revenue. For public security IP, licensing revenue increased 14 times year over year, contributing to about 0.7% of the total revenue. For MTP technology, the licensing and royalty revenue declined 41.9% and 0.3% year over year, accounting for 4.8% of total revenue. Now looking at the royalty from 8-inch and 12-inch wafers. 8-inch wafers, which accounted for 60.2% of the royalty, increased 1.7% sequentially and 27.6% year over year. 12-inch wafers contributed to 39.8% of the royalty, increased 19.8% sequentially and 70.5% year over year. For the first three quarters, 8-inch wafers accounted for 62.7% of the royalty, an increase of 16.9% year over year. 12-inch wafers accounted for 37.3% of the royalty, with an increase of 55% compared to previous year. There were 136 product tapeouts completed in the third quarter, a record high quarterly number, reflecting increasing demand for our IPs. We will provide more information in the management report that will be released later today. In the next section, I will address our future outlook. We expect the growth of the revenue to continue in the fourth quarter and beyond. For licensing revenue, the main contribution will be from new fields and the new path as we continuously build technology platform among foundry partners and the increasing demand for design license activities. For royalty revenues, we expect both 8-inch and the 12-inch royalty to continue their growth momentum. In 8-inch royalty will grow due to PMIC content increase in 5G smartphone and the demand pickup for automotive and IO applications. 12-inch royalty will have strong growth as customers are ramping up production for ISP, OLED driver, networking related, such as Wi-Fi 6, multimedia related, DRAM, SSD controller, and others. For new business development, our new applications are centered on the security business development. New fields in advanced technology, in advanced process, is adopted for secure key storage to replace conventional e-fields. We expect this will be the trend for security requirements. Business activities of PUF-based security solutions are in progress in the applications of IoT, industrial IoT, AI, blockchain, FPGA data processor unit, mobile storage, that is Unified Flash Storage, UFS, and automotives. Partnership with the processor IP vendors, that is ARM and RISC-V related, continue to extend our PUF-based security solution platform and bring in more customer adoption. For new IP technology development, we are developing 6 nanometer and 5 nanometer plus and 5P technology with our leading foundry partner and have already demonstrated 6 nanometer silicon results successfully. In Q3, we have announced the crypto processor, PUF IoT, which integrates our root of trust, that is a PUF RT, with crypto engines. PUF IoT is targeting to provide IoT and AI chips with comprehensive but easy-to-use security solutions. We will continue to develop our PUF-based solution to implement HSM, that is a hardware security module, which can be embedded in chip to provide security function for network applications. Now I will pass the time to Charles.
Okay, thank you, Rick. Please turn to page 14. Let me take a few moments of your time to introduce to you how path-based rule of trust can secure AI. Recently, many industrial developments on AI has significantly advanced the operation efficiency of many industries, such as factory automation, medical applications, autonomous driving, and etc. However, there are also many reports that show adversarial compromises on AI applications, particularly with edge devices, where the comprehensive security is unlikely due to insufficient computing power and the low cost of the device deployed. In an AI system, the security concerns are protect the device at the rest, as shown in page 14, to protect the device at the rest, to protect data in transit, to protect data integrity, and to authenticate authorized party, and to sign the authorized softwares. Okay, turn to page 15. Okay, in this page, I would like to explain the foundation of AI securities, which is the rule of trust. In order to perform this security functions, cryptographic operations on data by a secret key become indispensable. Therefore, to generate a key and to store a key and performing the cryptographic using this secret key become the foundation of AI security. And this is referred as the rule of trust. Okay, so that is also shown in the page 16. Okay, basically there are three essential problem we would like to solve, and from our IPs, how to generate keys, how to store a key, and how to use the crypto engine to protect the data. They are all the three major steps, which is the foundation for the AI applications. So please turn to page 17. So by using our PUF technologies, we can use it for the key generation, key storage, and building the rule of trust, and integrate these functions with cryptographic to perform the security operation to protect AI applications. Okay, so in page 18, which is PUF-RT, and you can see that inside the box, PUF-RT has a function of a unique ID. It has a two random number generator. It also has the key storage. And in page 19, please turn to page 19. For the PUF-IoT inside the box, you can see that PUF-IT is actually integrate PUF-RT, which is on the lower corner of right hand side, and which integrates the PUF-RT and with the crypto engine, which is on the left hand side of the box, to perform secure boot encryption and authentication in addition to the key generations. Okay, so please turn to page 20. So as illustrated in this table, so for the IoT on the in this table on the right hand corner, left hand corner, which is the operation procedure of the IoT. In the IoT operation, which you have to boot up the device. Okay, then second step is when the system is up, then you start to input the data for model training, and after the model training, then you deploy this model into the edge device. So the edge device can use the model to do the inference. So when the edge device receives the input data, and because there's model there, so you can use it, the model, to do the inference and to do the judgment for the subject you want to you want to inference. Okay, so left column is the operation procedure, and on the table we show the strain model of this during this operation, and we also shows the countermeasure to take care of this strain model, and then we will show the security functions which implement here to secure the operations, and finally we list the solutions which use our PUF IP to as a solution to take care of the security of these operations. Okay, so in these tables, okay, you can see that for the each operations, the PUF-based root of trust for the first row, you can see that the PUF-based root of trust can provide key and the unique ID to protect the boot program and also the authentication during the boot process and also the device to server authentication. And for the second row and the third row of in these tables, you can see the PUF IP IoT, which integrate PUF RT with the cryptographic engine, can encrypt data in transit and the data at rest to provide and provide the signature for the software, and also provide the unique ID, and also provide the tampering resistance function for the model training and the inference operations. Okay, so please turn to page 21. So in summary, for AI applications, NeoPUF-based hardware, root of trust provides unique ID, secure key storage, two random number generator, and the anti-tampering solution to protect AI assets and operations. In addition, our solution is highly manufacturable with ultra low cost. So our technology can provide very high value proposition for secure AI applications. And in page 22, in these figures, I also demonstrate that our solutions, PUF-based crypto processors, PUF IoT, can perform unique ID generation, secure storage, protect data and the software, secure boot, authentication, and also secure communication, and the secure update over the air, and anti-counterfeit to safeguard products throughout the entire life cycle. So it's not only in AI application, but for our PUF-based solution, it can also apply to any other electronic device which need security. Okay, so this conclude my introduction on the AI security.
Thank you, Charles. This concludes our prepared remarks. We now begin the Q&A session. Please submit your questions in the input box on the webcast window, and you will enter a queue. Should you wish to raise your question in Chinese, we will translate it to English before our management answers your question. We are now going to collect questions and will reply you in a minute. Please stay with us.
We have a question from Mr. Chen regarding our PUF solution in Chinese, and then I'll translate to English. He mentioned, okay, NeoPUF is currently the only PUF manufacturer that meet the 16 requirement of the U.S. Department of Defense for perfect random number generator. Does this have a significant impact on the future global information hardware security?
Regarding these questions, I think the DAPA's requirement, basically there's four different categories. One is whether our PUF meet the spec. And the second is our PUF manufacturable. Third is is our PUF reliable. I think you have to meet all these requirements so such that it can be applied to the products. So our path is meet all this requirement, 16 requirement, this case. And because the PUF is a very new technology, and I think for the security application, I think the it just began to get notice from those customers who need the securities. So I think that we have started to promote our PUF based technology in the North America, and I think we get very well accepted on our the features of our PUF. I think both basically on the reliability and also stability, and also particularly the availability on many foundries. So if the because this is now we just start to promote our technology to the big company in North America, I think if the eventually if those big company also accept our PUF for their new generation of the product, I think basically the all the other customers, if they see that this becomes a popular technology for to take care of the security, I think it will be very important, and also very it's also become the very significant impact to the worldwide securities applications and also security standards.
And another question is regarding the application side. Okay, the business of our subsidiary PUF Security and the new employee are both developing and increasing rapidly. And the innovative business model is worth looking forward. Can you explain this core technology and the business progress in the area of key management in the cloud and the Internet of Things and the digital signature in blockchain and the security authentication in financial transition?
Okay, I think for the application mentioned in the questions, I think our solution can all be applied to this applications, because our solution is very fundamental rule of trust, and all these applications they do need a very high secure rule of trust as the basis for their security applications. I think, for example, the key management, as I mentioned a few times, our PUF, one of our PUF IP, we call it the PUF rule of trust. It basically can generate the keys and also store the key, and also we can provide the to random number generation, and which is basically used in the key management and also blockchain signature and also the authentication of the transaction in the financial business.
Another question from David. Okay, there is currently tightness in foundry business, and so please could you discuss the trend in wafer pricing for 8-inch and 12-inch? Rick. Pricing.
Okay. Regarding the trend of the wafer price for the 8-inch and 12-inch, as you know, that the capacity in foundries now is quite tight. So as we learned from our customers, there is a more than double-digit percentage of the wafer ASP increase in 8-inch as well as 12-inch. So because there's over 70% of the revenue come from royalty, so we expect the wafer ASP increase will contribute to our royalty income growth.
Yes. So because our royalty rate is fixed, so the per wafer royalty we collect percentage of wafer price. So proportionally, we will benefit from the increase of wafer price.
All right. Yeah, thank you for Li-Jin's remarks.
Okay. And the second question is regarding NeoPUF. Currently, it's around 6% of licensing revenue in Q3. So do we have any guidance about the licensing revenue in a year time, and when new product can contribute to our royalty.
Okay, this is a very good question. As you know, like for if you follow the EMR for years, and you will find that the in general we took 5 to 6 years to roll out our new technology to the market. So the new path start to contribute the license revenue from last year, and we see the more and more customer adoption with our new path IP. So we expect the license revenue in next year will grow further. And the royalty from new pop, we expect to have the contribution by the second half of next year. So because we already have several customer adoption in its product, and they are doing the verification, so we expect the production will be happen in next year.
Another question from Hass. Can we talk about the progress in the advanced 12? No, I think it's below 16 nanometer. And what's our target application? And the revenue country, when we expect the fast run. And the other one, share gains in China foundry. Okay. And the other one is our DRAM progress. I think he mentioned about it, the licensing and the royalty both. And the other one will be power management related. Okay, what's our, I think want to ask is what's the content increase compared to 5G and the 4G? And the other, I think we just answered regarding the foundry titans, which will be benefit. For the better pricing and the royalty. Okay. So.
Okay. Let me answer the question one by one. So for the first one is the progress on advanced 12 inch nodes, the target applications. So currently, as I report, we already into 5 nanometer process node, and for the 7 nanometer, we already qualified 2 years ago. So in the advanced node, we are now engaging the customer in several fields, including the AI chips, automotive, and the multimedia, and the FPGA related applications. So, as to the revenue contribution now in the 12-inch, currently it's mainly from the OLED and TDDI and some multimedia chip, including DTV and the set-top box. And we expect the fast ramp will come from more adoption in OLED and the Wi-Fi and the ISP-related product application. So we already observe our customer in the ISP product application already moved into the production stage. So I think the ISP-related product will contribute royalty very quick. Another question is about the share gain in the China foundries. For the China foundries, in terms of the revenue contribution, there's less than 10% of our revenue. So because the China foundries still work in the legacy or 8-inch related, just legacy process codes, so the contribution to EMR on the percentage is quite low. As to the DRAM related progress. In the 25 nanometer, our customer, DRAM customer, already moved into the production, and the thousands of wafer are produced every month. And we now also work with our customer in 20 nanometer, and we believe the project will start it soon. So the royalty contribution will be happened in next year. As to the power management related question, when the smartphone moved from 4G to 5G, due to the more complicated system requirements, so more PMIC will be needed. So in terms of the contents, the numbers of chips, there will be 3 to 5 times compared with the previous generation. But in terms of the area, the wafer area, we believe there were around 3 times wafer consumption compared with the 4G. So that is my answer to the questions.
Can we talk about the reason of the increase in our operating expense? Is this because of higher spend of opportunity in PAF?
Okay. In terms of the operating expenses of in the third quarter, as I report previously, there is a tax exemption approval for deferment caused by a China foundry. So if we exclude this factor, I think the expense is mainly caused by the manpower increase for the PUF and the PUF security related RD development efforts.
And the other one come from Peter. Okay, it seems PUF is gaining good traction. Can we talk about how big a percentage of our total addressable market we potentially will adopt the solution? And I think we just mentioned the first royalty will come from next year, second half. So Charles, can you talk about how big the opportunity for PUF?
Okay, I think the our PUF is will be mainly used for the securities. So in the future, the market size for the security will be very huge, but the real number I cannot tell. Actually is from very low end like a edge device of IoT to the very high end like a CPU data processing unit and GPU and also the automotive, they all need the securities. I think if you have noticed, the United States government has started to promote so-called clean network. So-called clean network, they require every device in order to connect it to the network has to be secure and it has to have the some level of security, and also the devices also need to be certified as secure devices. So I think with the both U.S. government and also European common community also promote this security requirement. I think the market size will be very big.
Another question comes from Hale. Can we talk about the competing technology like NRAM threat to our business? And Charles, can you talk about NRAM?
Okay. I think the NRAM, we have a cooperate with U.S. company on this MRAM, embedded MRAM technologies. So MRAM, there are two different applications. One is the embedded application and the one is the standalone applications. So the I think the currently for embedded MRAM is basically to in order to replace embedded flash beyond process 28 nanometer, because beyond 28 nanometer, there's no embedded non-volatile memory solution can be used. So MRAM is targeting to take the position on that. And another is standalone MRAM, which will be taking the position to provide the so-called persistent RAM for the network applications. And I think now there's another application try to use MRAM to replace SRAM. So because the SRAM is the technology getting scaled down, the SRAM start the leakage, all the power of SRAM become big because SRAM is very difficult to be scaled. But the MRAM will be is much easier to scale, and also the cell size is much smaller, and thus the power consumption is much smaller. So in all this, in the standalone and also replacing SRAM, which is not our competing technologies, but the embedded, for embedded, because we are also working on the embedded, and so I think the embedded, if we have the embedded MRAM technologies, then we will expand our applications into the embedded flash applications. So far, we have no applications in the embedded flash application. But if we successfully deliver our embedded MRAM technology, then our market application, we will have additional market application that's in the embedded flash applications.
Okay. So in short, Charles just mentioned we are not competing with MRAM, but actually MRAM represents an opportunity for our company. Because we have a partner working with right now. And in addition, MRAM actually require our OTP for repair function, which we are licensed to one of the very big companies in the U.S. for their MRAM solution. So for us, actually, this represents additional opportunity. And another question is, Mr. Gu, okay. What are the current alternatives to securing electronic device? Do we expect a secure solution that can compete with NeoPUF in the next 3 to 5 years? And what challenge do we face when convincing customers to use our NeoPUF security as a solution? Okay, Charles.
Okay, so the current, usually I think the security is, there's a evolution on the securities. I think basically in the past, most of company use the e-fuse. They store the key in the e-fuse. They burn the fuse and they put the key, store the key in the e-fuse. And but that is not secure at all, because if you reverse, do the reverse engineering, you can clearly see the data on the burned fuse. And so that's why our OTP, NeoFuse, has in the advanced node has started to gain the market on the securities. And also in the the next application, in the evolution, so for the second evolution is you can encrypt your keys. And then, but it's now still burn, stored in the burn fuse. That again is not very safe. So now it's moved to, if you store the key into the near fuse, then even you do the reverse engineering, you cannot see the key. So that's now I think a lot of many companies start to move toward these directions. But the security beyond the storage in the OTP is to have the, because when you store the key, actually the key is injected from the outside. Okay, so it's not very safe. But beyond this level of security, then if the company use the key generated internally by the chip, such as in our path, actually you can generate the key by the chip itself, which is the fingerprint of the chips. So each chip has its own secret. So that's I think that will be the highest rule of trust. So that is the highest reliability. So we will expect that gradually the security, as the security demand and also the higher high-level security is required, then it will move to the to use the PUF as the security origins. Okay. So the second question is the security solution that can be compete with the NeoPUF in the next 3 to 5 years. And actually, we are not the first one to propose this PUF concept. Actually, the PUF concept is provided in the 2008. And now, in the market, the first PUF used in the commercial is the SRAM PUF. But because the SRAM PUF has its very, I think it's a significant problem is the SRAM PUF is not stable. So that means if your chip has SRAM as your fingerprint, but the most likely your fingerprint will change with time, with different environments. So that will cause your systems become very unstable and very insecure. So I think as we start to promote our NeoPUF, I think many customers are very interested in our NeoPUF because our NeoPUF is very secure and very stable, and which is indeed required for the usage in the lifetime. So, but in this current next 3 to 5 years, I think we still need to convince that a customer to use our PUF instead of SRAM PUF. I think we do, we are very, I think we have confidence that this will happen, okay. And another question is, or when we convince the customer to use NeoPUF security. Okay, so I think the challenge we are facing is customer always asks us to show the track record. So, you know, this is just like NeoFuse, because it takes the time to educate customers. Okay, this is the new technologies, and you can use new technologies to provide the higher securities. So I think the customer usually would like us to provide our PUF. Although they know our PUF is the most secure PUF, but they still concerned about how do we provide evidence on the anti-tampering. So, but because this security is kind of a more customized design solutions. So recently, we have many discussions with customers on their demand on the anti-tampering, which is because security is very different from selling the OTP. Because OTP, everybody knows, is for the storage functions, but for PUF, it's used for the security functions. Every company has its own security functions.
So the other question comes from Mr. Cho. Do we have any idea for what if the 12-inch production rate product lift up to 50% of the total revenue? And how about the growth rate of the total revenue? Okay.
Okay, this is a very, very interesting question. Yeah, so when the 12-inch product ratio lifts up to 50%, it means that we will have a more product usage in the segment. As I mentioned, that we now are working with customers in the OLED, ISP, and the multimedia and the connectivity product applications. So it means that at that time, the growth rate will be accelerated further compared with what we are now. So I think when the 12-inch wafers royalty take more than 50% of the contribution, the growth rate will be bigger compared with our current situation.
As a reminder, should you wish to raise a question, please submit your questions in the input box on the webcast window and you will enter a queue. We'll collect your questions and we'll get back to you. Please hold on.
Another question from Mr. Chen regarding the company vision. As we mentioned in local conferences, say we are transforming the company as a security as a service. Can we talk more about this, Charles?
Okay, I think as you know that we continue to develop our PUF-based security solution and from PUF Rule of Trust and PUF IoT and then PUF Secure Element. And then the coming quarter and also the next year, we are in our roadmap, we will develop the so-called PUF-based hardware security modules. And for hardware security modules, which are used in many server and also big systems to provide the security functions for the network applications. Okay, so I think as in our roadmap, in the as we continue to make our PUF-based security IP more comprehensive, and also the we have to also develop the application software and also application software interface, so to make the customer or to make the any individual to use the securities very easy and very convenient. Then at that time we will be going to the security service. So for example, now there are many small company or big company. They provide the security service such as encryption service, data encryption service, and also the signature services. So I think in the future, as IoT become the very popular and also the blockchain become popular, then many individuals and also many companies, they would like to request such kind of service. So I think that is our goal. Eventually in the future, our solution should be able to provide very high security, but with very low cost to this kind of for this kind of service to the customers.
Another question from David regarding the wafer pricing. As we just mentioned, double-digit wafer price increase next year. So what's the actual wafer price increase for the Q3, the third quarter?
Yeah, I think that regarding the wafer price, the most of the foundries will discuss with customer for the wafer price at the beginning of every year or by the end of the every year. So the wafer price increase we expect to be happen from next year. So it means that the wafer price increase contribution to eMemory will be happen in, I mean that in terms of a royalty contribution will be happen in next year.
Okay. Another question regarding the expense. We mentioned about the payment deferred in Q3, and that will be reversed in Q4. Can we explain that? I think this is just account receivable, okay? We take a very conservative practice, okay? If the account receivable, we didn't receive the cash flow, in how long? On time, then we will put on the as expense. So because this is the largest foundry in China, and the money for them is quite small, so they told us it's just the practice postponed, but we still put on the expense. So once the money into our account will be reversed, which we expect will happen in this quarter. So okay, the expense is going to be reversed back on the current quarter. This is answer your question. Another question regarding ARM. Okay, we are working with ARM on the Crystal Island, which is the highest standard for ARM solution. So why ARM not produce their own security IP and working with eMemory. Can Rick talk about that?
Okay. Okay, regarding this question, let me answer with three aspects. So for the first one is eMERS OTP offers a better security level compared with the traditional eFuse approach, as I mentioned in my report previously. So suggest customers to work with eMemory to adopt this higher secure storage OTP solution to protect their keys. Secondly, is eMemory is a pure play memory provider. So compared with the others, eMemory will be more neutral and can be a supporter to ARM in its crypto island solution. Third, customer and ARM would like to work with eMemory and the PUF security solution because our PUF RT perform much better compared with the some function in the trust room. So customer strongly request ARM to work with the PUF security solution to enhance its product performance. So this is the reason why the ARM work with eMemory for the security related segments.
Should you wish to raise a question, please submit your questions in the input box on the webcast window and you will enter a queue. We will collect your questions and we'll get back to you. Please hold on.
Okay. The total size team. Okay, the total size of the credit loss is 11.23, but I should ask about the total account receivable. This just the amount they didn't get into our account.
NT dollar.
It's 11.23 million NT dollar. Okay. We took a 100% as an expense, so the amount is as I mentioned is 11.23 million NT dollar. Okay. Another question from Jason. Rumor has that Korean Samsung is planning to launch their flagship phone early. Does eMemory continue to cooperate with the Korean brand on their new product?
Okay. Currently, we still work with this customer for the new product development. And not only the product development, we also support customer for their product production. So the project with the Korean customer is unchanged, and we will keep on going to support them with more projects.
Okay. Actually, we have more than one product chip solution using eMemory IP for that company. Not only for their smartphone, but we also work with their foundry. So foundry manufacturer is our customer, but also the chip company, the Samsung SI, is also our customer. And we expect more and more application to embed it with our IP in the future.
As a reminder, should you wish to raise a question, please submit your question in the input box on the webcast window. We will collect your questions and we'll get back to you. Please hold on. In the interest of time, we now begin closing comments. Charles, please proceed.
Okay, thank you again for your patience and the support for eMemory. We will continue to work hard on innovating IP and security solutions for our customers and bring higher returns for our shareholders. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Before we conclude today's conference, please be advised that the recording of today's conference will be accessible within 2 hours from now. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. We hope you will join us again next quarter. You may now disconnect. Goodbye and have a good day.